Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Praise God for Monday. This is the Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad you tuned into the broadcast today. Thank God for Monday. I trust that you had a glorious and a victorious weekend. Yes, a glorious and a victorious weekend, because Jesus lives in you. And I'm finding out we have to allow him to live his life through us. When we allow Jesus to be a part of our life, it can be glorious and victorious. A lot of time, yeah, trouble going to come. The Bible tells us in St. John 16 that trouble going to come. But Jesus said to be of good cheer. We just thank and praise the Lord for this day. I sent a shout out to Apostle Armstrong, who is the host of this broadcast. I thank God and him for allowing me to play a small part in it. I thank and praise the Lord for Lady Armstrong as well. I just decree that God is renewing your health and strengthening each one of you, and that God is gracing Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong to be able to fulfill their assignment on this earth. And right now, I just want to pray for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the host of the broadcast, Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. And Father, I just lift them up before you right now. I thank you because Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Right now, I take authority over every plot, every plan that Satan that want to come against this union, this relationship with Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. I even take authority over sickness and disease. I do it in the master's name of Jesus, because Jesus took their infirmity. He bore their sickness, and by his stripes you declare Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong healed. They are in covenant, they are joined out with Jesus, and I just thank you for it right now. I rebuke Satan right now in the master's name of Jesus. I defile him by the authority in Jesus' name. Every hold that he's trying to hold on Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong, by the authority in Jesus' name, I loose them now in the master's name of Jesus. I loose them from discomfort, from pain. I loose their mind from demonic activities right now in the name of Jesus. I go in their home by faith, and by the finger of God, I drive out every demonic demon that been assigned to their household, to their health. I bind it. I cancel your assignment. I command that you leave that house right now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I draw a circle of blood of Jesus around Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. I decree, Father, by the authority in your word, that you will renew their strength like the eagle, that they will be strengthened in their inner man by your spirit. I thank you they are covered with the blood of Jesus. I'm reminded when the children of Israel were being exited out of Egypt, you told them to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the sides of the doorpost. So when the death angel, when the death angel come and see the blood, it will pass him by. So Father, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than the blood of bulls and goat and lamb. So right now, the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. By faith, I take the blood of Jesus and put it on the doorpost of their entrance, wherever the entrance in their house. By faith, I plead the blood of Jesus over it right now in their bedroom, in their dining area. The blood of Jesus cover them. The blood of Jesus not only protect them, but the blood of Jesus keep them healed in the master's name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for causing them and gracing them to be able to fulfill their God-given purpose right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you said in Ephesians 6 chapter, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, ruler darkness, spirit of weakness in high places. Father, I thank you that the greater one is on the inside of them. I pray that the greater one will rise to the suffering, to the occasion. I thank you for granting them the grace, all the wisdom they need, Father. I thank you. I praise you for them right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I even lift up this broadcast right now. Father, I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for this broadcast in the master's name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over the airways right now. I come against the evil forces that would try to interfere in this broadcast right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over those that would tune in to the broadcast. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit being released over the airways, that he would bring enlightenment, he would bring understanding, that he would transform lives through his word, through the word of God. He will cause the word of God to come alive to your peoples right now. Oh, Father, I pray that you would strengthen those that would tune in to the broadcast today. I pray, God, that their life will be transformed. I pray that their strength will be renewed in the master's name of Jesus. God, that you would give hope to the hopeless today. You would give strength to those that fear that they don't have any strength in the name of Jesus. I just praise you. I bless you. And Father, I lift up our young people right now. I take authority over that spirit of anger, that spirit of hatred and bitterness that been influencing our young people, those that cause death to come about. I take authority. Satan, I know it's you, but by the authority in Jesus' name, I rebuke you right now in the atmosphere. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that you loose these young people's minds right now. Every demon that is harassing these young people, causing them to do things that is not like God, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. I come against premature death right now in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up the parents of the young people. I pray that you will strengthen them, Father. I pray, Father, even if they born again believer, I pray that you will renew their strength. I pray, God, that they won't cast away their confidence due to the trials and tribulation that their children experiencing right now. But Father, I pray that you will rise up intercessors all over the world, that they will continue to pray for our young people, the generation of tomorrow. Satan, we're not ignorant of your device. We know you trying to interfere and intercept what God has for this the next generation. But by the authority in Jesus' name, I bind you, I cancel your assignment right now in the master's name of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus against the prince of power of the air. I plead the blood of Jesus against hatred and bitterness and anger in our young people. Those demons that influencing these young people, I come against you in the name of Jesus right now. And I bind you. I cancel your assignment right now. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit being released and speaking to these young people. I thank you for bringing people in their past to minister to them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you said in the last days you will pour out of your spirit on all flesh. And Father, I thank you right now. I come against every demon that's trying to block and interfere, but I thank you that they are being loose right now. I thank you that your spirit is speaking to these young people right now in the master's name of Jesus. I ask you, God, to release angelic hosts right now. Release the angels to come and war and work with brain message and deal with our young people. I just thank you for it right now. Father, we praise you. We bless you right now because the greater one is on the inside of us. I pray that these parents that are believers, that they will allow the greater one to rise up in them in the master's name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father. I thank you everything. You said the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And by the authority in Jesus' name, everything that's trying to that bind these young people, I loose them by the authority in Jesus' name from it. I thank you for filling their paths with believers, Father, in the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit for impressing us to pray for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong and praying for our young people. Yes, the enemy is trying to attack, but listen, the greater one that's on the inside of us. I can think back and raising my two children, especially my son, when the enemy really was attacking my son more than anything. But I thank and praise God for a life that you know, try to walk up right before God. And let me tell you something. Don't let nobody deceive you. It pays to serve God. I mean with a pure heart. It pays to come into the knowledge of Jesus, Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection, and allowing yourself to line your life up with the word of God. It really pays off. In Deuteronomy, he said that he set before us blessing and cursing, life and death. And he tells us to choose life that we and our seed may live. And he talking about your children. And I'm telling you, I say to you parents, if you have tuned in, don't give up on your children. Keep pleading the blood. Continue to exercise your authority against the evil one, those evil forces that are coming against the children in this hour. Because the enemy know once they come into the reality of who they is or what the plan and purpose of God for their life, they'll put the enemy to flight in the name of Jesus. So, again, this is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I just praise God for today because I truly believe that this is the day that the Lord have made and we can rejoice and be glad in it. I was shared with somebody early this morning that they need to really get dogmatic with the enemy. I was listening at one of the late Robert Goo message about being serious about resisting the devil and continue to resist. And, you know, it really blessed me because it even gave more enlightenment. We've been talking about developing a relationship with God and maintaining that relationship. And I'm telling you, we as born-again believers, we got to really get and be more serious about our relationship with God. And Revelation, the Bible talk about the church of Ephesus. If you read about it, the Bible said Revelation how they lost their first love. When they first came into the knowledge and the reality of Jesus, they really loved the Lord. But they allowed themselves some way and somehow to start drifting and departing from the things of God. Apostle Paul said to Timothy that in the last days, many would depart from the faith. And the thing about relationship is you have your part to play in a relationship. We seen on the earth that the divorce rate is more higher for what statistics say in the body of Christ, or better yet in the church, than in the world. But it just goes to show you that the enemy is at work. Come on, somebody. A lot of times people would say you don't need to talk about the enemy. I don't talk about the devil to glorify him, but I talk about him because you need to know that the Bible called Peter, said he's your adversary. Jesus called him the devil. You need to know that you in a battle, whether you want to be in it or not, because of this fallen world. And the enemy want to take the world by storm. But let me tell you something. He is a defeated foe. But the way he tried to present himself to you and I and anybody else, he want us to believe that he's not defeated. Oh, yes, he is. We don't only live in the natural world, but the real world is the spirit world. Come on, somebody. We live in the spiritual world, and sometimes we can pay more attention to the natural and not enough to the spirit, you see. That's why even Paul said, he said, the prince of the air, you know, Satan, the god of the world. Jesus said in St. John, the 14th chapter, the last two verses, he was talking about the prince of the world come, but he have nothing in me. And the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, neither give place to the devil. James, the fourth chapter, tells us to submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. I don't know about you. We have to learn what it means to submit to God. We talked about that a couple of weeks. We talked about that in December about resisting, submitting to God and resisting the devil. You know, because listen, you in a battle, whether you want to believe it or not. The enemy going to always try to attack us, but there too, again, I like some that Apostle John said, and I think it's 1 John, the 5th chapter. He said, tell us the greater one is in us. And I thank and praise the Lord that Paul also said in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, when he was inspired to pray for the church of Ephesus in the beginning, he said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. You need to know, as a born-again believer, what is the hope of God calling for you. You need to know that you have purpose here. Every individual on this earth, they not here by accident, even though somebody came through being raped or whatever, but do you not know you have purpose? And the enemy, it go to a screen measure to try to get you to doubt that. Oh, yes, he want all of us to doubt. You know, he wanted to steer you, that little strategy he used with Eve. Did God say? Yes, God said what he meant and meant what he said. And the enemy want us to doubt what God said. But if you don't know what he said, it's easy for you to doubt whether he said it or not. But there too, again, I want to continue talking about the importance of a relationship with God. On Thursday past, we talked about our scripture came from St. John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus said, except the branch abide in the vine, it can do nothing. He compared us to the branch and him and the Father to the vine. And that's, you know, I found out, yes, God have a responsibility to humanity, but let me tell y'all something, better yet, to mankind, but we also have a responsibility to God. God is not going to do anything. God gave us a will. God is not going to override your will. I found out as a servant of God, as a child of God, God ain't going to make me read my Bible. That's something that I'm going to have to take up the niche. I have to read it. I have to make myself read the word. God ain't going to make me do it. It's up to me to use my time wisely. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm for the grace message, but some of the stuff people teach about grace, I disagree with it. But I'm not here to debate that issue because God tell me not to debate. But there, too, again, we have our part to play. I want you to hear me. You know, yes, we in the beginning of the 2023. Yes, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people saying God said this, God said this. There, too, again, I'm not debating that. But I will tell you this here. Whatever God said is conditional. You have your part to play. It's not, God is not going to do it all. You have your part to play. That's the way God established certain laws and principles on the earth. God made it possible. We learned through the Old Testament that what God wanted for mankind, but God know man needed a savior. Man needed a helper, somebody help him. And God made that possible through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made it possible. But dare to again hear me. You have your part to play. That is so important. If whatever God asks us to do, God done sent us a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is the one that released the power. That he enables. He gives us the ability to do what God say do if we choose to do what he say. Jesus said on one occasion, whosoever will, let him come. God ain't going to make you come. He said, the day that you hear my voice, daily, God is speaking to all humanity through the Holy Spirit. Yes, he is. God speak to the sinners just like he speak to the believers. The Holy Spirit is still wooing. He's wooing and trying and convicting, trying to convict people, bring a conviction to them that they need to come in to the ark of safety. As I stated, we're going to continue, but I want you to go to Genesis, the 37th chapter, and we're going to talk about, we've been talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel. And it's amazing some of the peer pressure a lot of our young people dealing with. Daniel and those three Hebrew boys, the relationship that they had with their Creator. They understood the covenant. They understood all of that, and they stood strong in it, even in the time of adversity. And that's what I want to continue to talk about. But Psalms 46, the third verse, you don't have to turn there, but in Psalms 46, the third verse, it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth is removed and though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea. It said, through the water thereof roll and be troubled, though the mountain shake with the swelling thereof Selah. There is a river, the stream of whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that's right early. The heathen raved, the kingdom were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. And that's what, even with Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, everything that they had to experience, whatever they had to confront, God was all the time with them. And that's good news. But now the Bible tells us that we have a better covenant in the New Testament of the New Covenant. We have a better covenant with better promise. And I love to go back and refer to the Old Testament because it really strengthened me, encouraged me. Whenever I read and see some of the things that they had to face, what they had to confront, how they had to stand up for their relationship, their faith and come, y'all, it's something to know. It let me know, even with this better covenant, I can stand up. But it all began with a relationship. This is so important. And the more with this teaching that God been talking to me about relationship, it helped me to go back and examine my relationship with the Lord. You know, so many people, as we say so many times, trying to do life without God. The way that God established this earth, the way you cannot, I cannot, nobody can do life without God. I don't care what people tell you. You got some people, the enemy wants you to think, you look, oh, they got this and they look like they this. You never know what's going on in a person's heart. But the enemy going to always try to make us believe that the sinner is having a better life than us. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I think it in Psalm 37, the Bible tells us to fret not ourselves, nor be envious of those that work iniquity. Don't even be moved by it appears that they prosper. Prosperity is truly begin with a relationship with God, with a peace of mind. Come on, somebody. It's not in the multitude of things, but your peace is based upon your relationship with him. But there too again, in the eighth verse, he said, come, I'm in Psalm 46 and 8. He said, come, behold the work of the Lord, with desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh a wall to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I tell you, in the time that we live in, it's a lot of things happening on the earth, going contrary to what God say. God promised us victory. I found out every day I do expect a miracle. But sometimes the package that a miracle show up in, it can be with opposition. Come on, somebody. Things contrary to what I done prayed about or what I'm believing, what I'm expecting. And I have to learn. I have to learn to stand fast. Be steadfast in the things of God. Be steadfast. I had to learn how to persevere and be consistent. Come on, somebody. that's my part that I have to play. Because I was in for a rude awakening when I found out that everything just don't automatically happen, okay? But he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, there too again, like I said, we need to know, although we all experience spiritual barrenness at times, that is not the norm, for God desires to be near his people with help and comfort. And there too again, that's why we want to go to Genesis. Like I said, now I'm going to Genesis, the 39th chapter. But Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob. And, you know, just a quick about who Joseph was. Joseph was the youngest son of Jacob. And the Bible tells us that Jacob favored Joseph because he had him at an old age. He even made him a robe of many colors. And Joseph was hated. His brothers were jealous of him because of how his father treated him. You know, and then they even Joseph had a dream. And you know, you can get excited about something that is exciting when God gives you something. And everybody know the Bible tell us how Joseph went and shared his dream and his brother really got mad with him. But the point I want to bring out today is how God protected Joseph. You know, I want to show you as a young man, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how even the pressure that was on Joseph when Potiphar's wife approached him. And, you know, I have five grandsons and two granddaughters. And the enemy always, and I really believe this, you know, from study, I really believe the enemy fight and come against males in a different way he can do female, because he know that God has such a great plan for males. And the enemy always shooting at them because males play a major part in the plan and purpose of God. And, you know, I watch, you know, I have a son and a daughter. My daughter is the oldest, and my son is the baby, well, the youngest. But I watch in growing up how I had to really fast and pray and intercede for my son, how the enemy was always trying to bring division between me and my son. God, and if whoever listened to this, if you have a son, And you need to really intercede and pray. Don't get me wrong. If you have a daughter, you need to pray for her as well. But because of the plan and purpose that God has for males, the enemy going to always shoot at them, or better yet, target them. That's why, you know, even with marriage, how the enemy, once a male make up in his mind that he want to do it God's way, here come trouble. The enemy going to always be bringing temptation to that male to try to come between not only him and his creator, but him and his family, starting with his wife, then his children. Come on, somebody. This is real. You believe it or not, you in a battle. Hear me good. And until Jesus come, it going to be battles one after another. But guess what? You can be victorious in each and every one of them. Jesus walked this earth, he said, and John said, he came flesh and dwell among us. The word came flesh, dwell among. Jesus walked this thing out for you and I. I'm telling you, this is so important. But like I said, it about this year, and that's why I said Joseph had to face three great tests in Egypt, and that's what I want to talk about. He had to test personal purity. He had a test that often come to young people away from home. I hear a lot of people talk about their children. Once they go away to college, when they come back home, they different. A lot of them leave home believing in God. They come back home, they don't believe in God. They come atheist. There too, again, these are the tests that Joseph had to experience once he was away from home when he was sold and went to Egypt. You remember his brother got mad with him. They were going to try to drown him, and that didn't work. I put him in the well, but then he was sold off to Egypt. But in the process of it, the point I want to make is how Joseph stayed true to his relationship with God. He didn't compromise. I want you to hear me. All of us tempted to be compromised. In the most time, I found out that the enemy wants me to compromise when temptation comes. That's when temptation, if you're a born-again believer, temptation comes to all of us, but that's the time the enemy wants us at that time to compromise, and that's where we got to stand our ground. Oh, yes, you got to know how to stand your ground. And that's why I say, you know, you need to really get really serious with your relationship with God. We have a problem when it comes down. Humanity having a problem when it comes down to relationship with God and either with one another. If you kind of observe that across the border, the enemy fight relationship, the first one we and God. Then the next one with families, husband and wife, parents with their children, friends relationship. He always trying to get in there and bring division, bring strife. Come on, somebody. This is so important. That's why the Bible said, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, God don't want you to be ignorant of saving device. Like I said, I don't talk about this to try to make you come out of the, once I leave there, I don't want you to think I'm exhorting Satan. No, I want to reveal your enemy to you, and I don't want you to walk around being fear. I want you to know he is a defeated foe, but the way he tried to present himself in our life, in our situation, like he's not defeated. And then he'll try to get you and I. If we don't have any knowledge of God, he wants us to blame everything on God. And like I said, Joseph remind me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their relationship with God. Even though they were put in the Cain Palace, even with Babylon, they were put in the Cain Palace. But as I said in last week's message, how those three Hebrew boys, as well as them, they choose not to compromise when it came down to them standing up and their relationship with God. And this is what we as believers got to do. And I will say to any believer, in this I went to always examine your relationship with God from time to time because it's very important. Many things come from that relationship. I'm telling you, it's so important. And like I said, Joseph had to face three great tests in Egypt, the test of his personal purity, a test that often comes to young people away from home, the test of the opportunity for revenge. And I'm telling you, in each one of these tests, do you not know that Joseph passed the test? Oh, yes, he did. He passed the test. And like I said, in Genesis 3rd, in that 39th chapter, you can read it once we get off that, but I'm going to drop down to that verse in Genesis 39 and 6. He said he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not all that had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Well, Potiphar's wife was lusting after this young man. He had to be a man. But now, a Potiphar's wife wasn't an ugly woman either. She was very beautiful because, you know, the king, they took care of their wife. That was just it. They made sure they were presentable. They smelled good and all of that. But she began to lust after this young man who was Joseph. Now, you think about it. At his age, you know, his hormones was acting up and all of that. But my thing is this. That's the thing about having a relationship with God. We are not supposed to compromise our relationship with God to do wrong. And the enemy always trying to get us as born-again believers to replace something in our life, to draw our attention, or try to pull us away from maintaining a close relationship with God. Because he know if he can get us away from God, go back to St. John the 15th chapter, if he can cause and bring things between our relationship with God, he can really handle us better. That's his whole thing. He want to be able to handle us better. That's why sometimes he wants you to isolate yourself from the believers. He don't want you to spend time in the word. Now I'm going away. I didn't prepare. This ain't the way I thought it was going to go, but this is what God given me. Go back and examine your relationship with God. Where I'm at in my relationship with God. Is I've been doing what God told me to do. I'm telling you, this is so important. I'm telling you, it is important. Because a lot of times people feel like, well, you know, that your relationship with God, that ain't important. Yes, it is. Come on, somebody. Yes, it is. Your relationship with God is very important. Don't let the enemy make you think it's not. I know I'm not going to finish. I'm probably just the day just starting with, you know, trying to get my little foundation down. Because like I said, Joseph was a young man, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other people in the old covenant as well. But what I want to show you, even though these were young men, but they had pledged allegiance to God. And they did not allow the peer pressure. And y'all, I'm telling you, there's so many young people dealing with a lot of peer pressure. They surrounding immorality. I mean, it's here. There's so many things that's trying to get their attention. I said to parents, keep your children in the church. Keep your children, sit at home, get your Bible, and read the Bible with your children. Find out what your children is looking at. What's getting more of their attention? You know, I have a phone, and I tell you, a lot of time I open it up and check in my email. If I ain't careful, I'm tempted to go in YouTube. I'm tempted to get on Facebook. There's so many things that try to get our attention, and I'm telling you, the enemy number one goal is to interfere with your relationship with God. Because like St. John 15 tell us, the branch get all its nutrition. It's just like with food. We get certain nutrition from food. Where the enemy know that if he can keep disconnect the branch from the vine, he got you. You die. You whiz it up. You can't do it. I think I used this illustration last week about a fish in water. The way God created a fish cannot survive without the water. He assumed die. A fish had to stay in the water. And y'all, I'm telling you, you ain't going to survive without having that intimate relationship with God. The Bible tells us, I think it's in James the 4th chapter, God said, if you draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you. And we do that by spending time in his word. As the psalmist said in the 46th chapter of Psalm, I learned when you're being tried and tested, the best thing to do is get somewhere and get still. Don't allow yourself to be moved by what you see and your emotion getting this outraged. It'll just go crazy. But anyway, let me go on because I'm starting this today. It might take me 2 days to finish this. But there, too, again, not, like I said, Joseph was well favored. He was a good person. And in that seventh verse, in Genesis, the 39th chapter, the seventh verse, it tells us how Potiphar's wife was lusting after Joseph. She wanted Joseph to be intimate with her, to lay with her. And I want to show you how he dealt with that. Now, you think about a young man, and this one was beautiful. I'm sure she was wearing the finest linen. He had been seeing her from time to time because he worked in Potiphar's house. Potiphar had entrusted him with many things, and first with his house. And, you know, she had to be watching Joseph. She had to been watching him. And now she want him to lay with her. This the same temptation to a certain degree that Samson had to deal with Delilah. How Satan brought Delilah in his life. As Samson was tempted with a Philistine, and his parents already told him not even don't deal with them women. But there too again, and a female is one of the weaknesses of a male. I have grandsons and I constantly pray for them. And you got to do the same thing. It's really on my heart this morning about the young people, the peer pressure, what they dealing with. That's why it's so important, parents, if you got children, make and find time to sit down and talk to them. Try to find out what's on their mind. And if they don't want to talk to you, pray for them. Make it up in your mind, I'm going to pray for my children. I'm going to turn my plate down. I'm going to fast for, because he after our young people. He after this young generation. But listen, you and I have been graced with the authority in Jesus. We have the authority to cause him to bag up, to cause the enemy to loose our young people. But listen, you're going to have to get serious not only with your relationship. Listen, a relationship that you're serious about, you can be strong. I found out if my relationship with God is strong, my faith, my confidence, and my trust going to be strong in God. But if I ain't been spending time meditating, if I ain't been reading his word and meditating, and being a doer of his word, my faith ain't going to be strong. Apostle John said, he said, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. Because the love of the world is against. You say, listen, whatever you come to pay attention to, that's what you're going to run to mostly. I found out, when I used to want to watch TV all the time, when trouble come, whatever you've been watching, it ain't going to strengthen you. Come on, somebody. But like I said, okay, in that seventh verse, it's in, and it came to pass after these things that his master wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. Listen, he refused and said unto his master, why? Behold, my master want not what is with me in the house. And he have committed all that he have to my hand. There is none greater. Listen, he said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great weakness and sin against God? Look at him. Now, it wasn't just only about his master and what his master had committed into his hand, but if his first priority and his lawyer was to God. And that's the thing, when it comes down to temptation, temptation is always trying to get us and pull us away from God and interfere in our relationship with God. Watch the enemy. I'm talking, God talking to me too. You know, I try to make it as simple as I can. Some might say, now, Prophet Miller, you ain't telling me how I can be more prosperous this year. Yes, I am. You ain't telling me what I can do about my relationship with my wife or my family. Yes, I am. It all begins with your relationship with God. If you always struggling, you need to examine your relationship with God. Is my relationship with God is up to par like it's supposed to? It's really, it's the old saying, it's really leaning on the everlasting arm. The way you lean on God is to find out what his words say and do what his words say. Yeah, we got to get serious about our relationship with God. If you serious about your relationship with God, then guess what? You'll learn and know how to walk in the authority that's been given to you as a believer. You can get dogmatic with Satan when he's trying to get you to get in the fences and all that. No. God forbid it, and so do I. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do what God say. You have to get dogmatic in any relationship. As a mother, both of my children grown. You know, one live in the town with me, and the other live away from me. But when we talk, I always let them know I love them. When I get to go around my grandchildren, that is in Virginia. They older now, but guess what? I'm always loving on them, kissing them. Don't you know, grandmother love you? It's so important. And I'm telling you, your relationship with God, to me, that's the number one relationship. That relationship can help you with your other relationships. And like I said, the Bible tells his lawyer, like I said, his lawyer, Joseph had his lawyer in faithfulness to God. And out of that, he was able to resist that temptation. Because, see, Joseph had to make up in his mind, first of all, and this was where it starts. In a relationship, whoever you're in a relationship with, whether it's God or any other husband or wife, friends, with, you have to make, I'm going to be loyal to them. I'm going to do right by them. See, it got to be a made-up mind. Is your mind made up today when it comes down to you and your relationship with God? Have you really made up in your mind? Come what may, I'm going to serve God. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They mind was so made up about their relationship. They were willing to risk their life. After the king told them, and when they was told on, that these three Hebrew boys, the one you done favored, the one you got in your palace working for you, they done made up in their mind. They ain't going to bow to this image that you done made. But they were loyal to God. They know the consequences of honoring anybody other than God. And you know what I found out in the book of Samuel when God said it to Eli? God told Eli, you honor your sons more than you honor me. Y'all, let me tell you something. Whoever you honor the most, if you honor God, God going to honor you back. Don't let people tell you you get saved, you can live any kind of way. No, you can't. In a relationship, when you love that individual, if a man and a woman truly love one another, they're going to be found loyal to their spouse. They ain't going to just want to go out there and flirt with everything they see. Come on, somebody. God even said about the Trinity, he said, you're whoring after other gods. Yeah, we can. No, we don't have the idol stones like they carve in wood and all, but we can have idols. We can make a TV our idol. We can make our possession our idol. Who getting your attention more than God? Who getting the attention that you ought to be giving him when it's time to? And I ain't talking about just only reading the word, but I'm talking about, James said, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. You know, I've had people, I can quote the Bible, I know, but are you a doer of what you're reading? Is it a part of your life? Oh, that's good. Like I said, Joseph, both of us his loyalty and faithfulness to God and our Lord to God, he were able to resist. If you loyal to God, you can resist some of these temptations. Your gold olive be able to resist all of them. We all have a process. I was with Mount Olive on yesterday, and this apostle, this woman, preached an awesome word about the strategy, how God have a strategy for our life. She ministered it, really blessed my heart. And I'm telling it, if you want to have victory in your life that Jesus paid for, it begins with your relationship with God, with the Trinity. He was victorious over temptation because he had a previous mind made up to remain obedient to the Lord and not to sin. See, you got to make up your mind. See, in a relationship, you know, a lot of people say, I had the relationship, it didn't work out. What you didn't do? Come on, somebody. Did you let the enemy come in? I don't have a relationship and allow the enemy to come in and destroy them. Come on, somebody. It been vice versa. I try not, but if somebody don't want to be in a relationship with you, you can't make them. But guess what? You had your part to play, too. You can't make nobody stay in a relationship, but I'm talking about the most need for relationship is with God. And I'm telling you, we're in the new covenant. And if we want to have victory over temptation, we got to make up in our mind that we're not going to sin against God. Come on, somebody. And this is so important. That's why I say you got to make up your mind. A lot of people, honey, you get saved, ain't nothing you got to do. God going to do it all. That's a lie. That's a lie. Jesus said, if any man going to follow after me, he got to deny himself. James said in James, the fourth chapter, he said, a lot of your quarreling and what all this coming from your own self-ambition. He said, you pray, but you're not getting any answer. You're not getting the result that God said you're supposed to get because you're selfish with your prayer. You want God to cater to your lustful desires. That's what he was talking about, really. He said, so much of division and strife among you and confusion. Now, see, the Bible told us in the last days, children going to be against parents. He said that. Because now, if I want to live right and my children don't want to live right, the Bible said, in Amos, he said, how can two walk together except they agree? But like I said, I'm talking about Joseph because of Joseph's relationship and his legion, his loyalty to God, he was put in prison because we see she lied on him. Look at that 10th verse. I'm in Genesis 39:10. It said, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. See, like I said, over time period, she was lusting after a young man. A young man. Don't tell me you cannot resist temptation, male and female. Don't tell me you can't. Through your union, through your relationship with God, and I'm telling you, if you will to do right, God will enable you by the Holy Spirit, give us the ability, the power to do, to resist temptation. See, the enemy, you can't do that. No, I agree, I can't. But Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit that is in me will help me to do what God wants me to do. I just have to make up in my mind. You know, I found out when you really make up in your mind what you're going to do, your flesh will line up with it. It might act up a little while, but it'll line up with it. If you make up in your mind, I'm going to read my Bible and stick with it. If you ain't been, you know, used to doing it on a regular basis, if you just, you know what, Father, first forgive me. I ain't been spending time with you like I should. I'm going to spend more time with you. Your flesh will leave you alone. The late Kenny Hagin Sr., he used to like to crave Pepsi Colas, either Pepsi or Coca-Cola. But he said he had made up in his mind, I'm going to stop drinking them. He said first it wasn't bad, but he just made up in his mind. And he finally said, no, we ain't doing it. And he said after his flesh became totally submissive to that. See, the enemy always wants to say, oh, you can't do it. The reason why you feel like or thinking that you can't do it is because you so used to letting your flesh just take you in a way it want to take you. Don't you know you can control your emotion? The enemy wants to see that's what I had to learn. An unrenewed mind, a mind that's not stayed on the Lord, a mind that is not constantly renewed, the enemy goes, you can't do it, 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 you can't do it. And then you read in the Bible where you can do it. Then the enemy starts having you, if you call God a lie. And you say, I ain't called God no lie. Yes, if he said you can and you saying you can't. Oh, that's good word. Good word. Good word. And I'm telling you, we in this new covenant, we have to make up in our mind. I'm going to maintain a strong relationship with God. I'm going to make myself spend time with. I'm going to bring this flesh back up on the total submission to the Lordship of the Trinity. Paul said, I keep my flesh under subjection. He means submitted to the Lordship of the Trinity, to the Spirit of God, that when I don't preach to other, I won't be a castaway. And them old saints said, yeah, you don't have a sin nature, but you still have your flesh to deal with. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your flesh going to still want to do what it want to do. That's why you got to keep your mind renewed. Paul said, I believe it's in Romans the 12th chapter, if I'm not making a mistake. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed. You got to keep your mind renewed. And the only way you're going to do that is in the Word. Come on, somebody. Don't let nobody tell you you don't have to read the Word. Some people, the only time they read their Bible is when they go to church. You ever notice, as soon as you get out of church, the enemy says, oh, let's eat and relax and don't do nothing else. And all he wants you to do, forget about everything you done here. Come on, somebody. Even on your way to work, I know this young lady that blessed me, said every morning, and they work, they have to be to work about 7 o'clock. But they said that the Lord used to wake them up like at 5 o'clock, but now the Lord waking up between 3 and 4 o'clock. And they have to get up and go. They go to their prayer room and they pray and pray. Let me tell you something. Like I told them, I said, that's good. The Lord be preparing you. You don't know what your day going to be like. But by spending time with him, God will give you wisdom. He'll let you know sometimes what's going to take place. Then he'll give you insight. Just like the three Hebrew boys, do you not know God rewards you for your faithfulness? See, this thing that God going to bless me in, I'm not down with that because that's not true. That's not scripture. He said, I honor those that honor me. Eli was a priest, but Eli did not honor God. God said he honored his son more. How? He know his sons were living wrong, and he still choose not to chastise his son. Or better yet, he chooses not to discipline his son. Y'all, God is not, God ain't saying, the Bible said don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, some people might not agree with what I'm teaching right now. It's okay with me. I had to learn to deal with that. This is what God's showing me through his word. I believe in grace. But grace is not a license to sin. Paul said, should we continue sin that grace? No. Grace is saying that I don't deserve it, but God still love me. God give me what I need to deserve him. And I'm we can have victory over temptation, faithfulness to God, and do not, and like I said, a lot of times, we might not see through your obedience and submission to God, you might not experience a reward immediately and suddenly. Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was obedient to God and did what he wanted, but he got put in prison. He even lost his life on this side, but he gained a better and eternal life on the other side. And y'all, these are some of the things that we learn as we go through the Bible and read what happened. But I want to show, then he's going to say, he said, how can I do this weakness and sin against God? That's the 9th verse. He made his relationship with God meant much to him, more than just having a one-time thrill or maybe everyday thrill or whatever. So don't you know that Cain could have killed him? He could have, Potiphar could have killed him. His wife lied on him. Oh, my God. Look at 10th verse. And it said, and it came to pass that she spoke to Joseph day and night that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his bidding, and there were none other men in the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. Honey, that's fear. The lust got the best of her. She was going to try to force him to be with her. Now, this man had to really have a strong connection with God. His conviction had to really be strong. His covenant with God, his relationship. I can't do this to him. Not only to the king, but I can't do it to God, neither the king. I can't do it. But see, he was being tempted. This woman, she kept looking. She kept trying to approach him. He still would mess with. She said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. She would try to force herself on, and he still resisted her. You know what you saying, prophet? I tell you what, this is what I'm saying, what I'm sensing in my spirit. You and I can resist temptation. Temptation is to go come to cause us to go contrary to what God's saying, or better yet, what God can give us later with the trimming. It's just like when Jesus was being tempted of the enemy in the wilderness. Everything the enemy was trying to give him at that minute, he already had it. It wasn't God will. One other thing, it wasn't God will for him to eat at that moment. Y'all, I'm telling you, and that's why it's really on my heart. Let's pray. Pray for our young people. You that have tuned into this broadcast. Tell the people, let's pray. Let's really put them on the altar and come against these evil forces that try and get our young people to destroy their life and destroy somebody else's life. All of these temptations, trying to get them to fornicate, to bring children on the earth, and they not ready to be parents. Come on, somebody. This spirit that causing them to be disobedient and rebelling against their parent, rebelling against authority, delegate authority. Come on, somebody. Let's stand up as born again, believe and decree by the authority in Jesus' name. This is going to stop. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I bind and I come against this rebellion, this spirit of disobedience. Y'all, I'm serious. That's what it's going to take. You know, I found out even, yes, you have to discipline the child in the natural. But let me tell you something. You need to get to the root cause of that spirit that is influencing that child to do what it's doing. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word today. I give you praise and ask you have in the beginning to lift up our young people. I pray, Father, for parents all over the world. I pray that the spirit of conviction, that you'll begin to stir their heart and they will spend a little bit more time through praying and fasting for their children and their relationships, that you will open up their eyes to let their spouse, to let their wife know that their relationship begin first with God and then with one another. That their relationship with God is very important. Their relationship with one another. And come against the enemy. They're trying to bring this division, this confusion among them. In the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. This was Apostolic Prophet William Miller. Listen, don't miss Thursday. We're gonna pick up here. We're going to pick up in this Genesis, the 11th verse. That 11th verse we're going to pick up on Thursday. And we're going to continue this because we're still talking about the importance of your relationship with God, how it can benefit you, how it can bless you. I want you to listen. I want you to enjoy the rest of your day. Go back and read the 39th chapter, Psalm 46 in its entirety. Go back and read it. Enjoy the rest of your day.